Ann Killian joins us, of course, of the San Francisco Chronicle. Ann, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Marty. How are you?
I'm doing well. And this Mother's Day, how's Mother's Day treating you so far?
So far, Mother's Day is fantastic. My son has cooked me a delightful breakfast. Both my kids are home, which for me is a big treat because they're of that age where they're not home very much. So it's good.
Very good. Hey, you know, I wanted to have you on this morning. Of course, I love the perspective that you give in sports and the columns that you write. I want to start you off with a little bit of Giants-Dodgers today. And,
yeah. You
know, I was talking about it last night. There's just something about it. You just have to see SFLA. I don't care who the pitchers are. I don't care what it is. You know you're in for some sort of battle. Isn't it funny?
Yeah, and they've really been. I mean, I was a little bit surprised by yesterday's game because it was seemed like the first one of the season that was ended up being a little bit lopsided. I mean, so far they've been, you know, very tense and exciting and, you know, fraught with emotion and yelling and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good one all the way through the season. And you know, that's when it's the best. I mean, for any of us who grew up, you know, with Dodgers Giants and remembered it as being the ultimate rivalry and, you know, something that got the attention of our parents and everyone, you know, all the time. It's even though it was kind of fun during all those years when the Giants were good and the Dodgers stunk, but I think it's better when both teams are good. I mean, it's really something to look forward to.
Yeah, we fantasized yesterday, and it's not impossible with pitching staffs like this and the way the league is set up. These two teams could meet for the first time ever, like in a 7-game series for the pennant. Now, we now have all the history of their, you know, short playoff series for pennants, which are legendary. But can you imagine a 7-game series between these two teams?
No, I can't. In fact, I think there would be a lot of ulcers in the making. I think that it would be fantastic, but I think that there would be a lot of people who are feeling very tense, at least up here. I mean, I lived in L.A. for a little bit. I went to school down there and worked at the L.A. Times, and I got to say, the rivalry is always more intense from the Giants side, and I'm not really quite sure why. Maybe it's just the mentality of L.A. People are more laid back, but it definitely – people are much more into it on this side of things than down there.
You know, and I said this yesterday, and Leonard Coppin, when he was alive, we talked about this, that the first 10 years of the Giants being in the Bay Area, 1958 to 68, and the rivalry with the Dodgers that came over from Brooklyn – which didn't necessarily have to translate here, but the teams that were put together for those 10 years of, and again, I say the Mays, McCovey, Cepeda, Hart, Davenport, Koufax, Drysdale, Marichal in there, the Davis brothers, Maury Wills, for some reason, those 10 years, just as you said it, cemented Giant-Dodger relations. And the A's came in 68 with Charlie Finley, had great teams, but they never could really break through the Giants' hold in the Bay Area. And I think it goes back to the beginning, and I think it goes back to Giants-Dodgers.
I think you're right. I mean, I would my father is no longer with us, but, I mean, I would have to base it on what he thought. And certainly, you know, the first team that comes is you know, has an in, and people, and it was a great team. You know, it wasn't just any old team that showed up. It was the San Francisco Giants, one of the most historic. I mean, it was the New York Giants come to San Francisco, so one of the, you know, great legendary baseball teams of all time. And then, you know, this natural rivalry comes from New York to either the only two teams on the West Coast. And I think in the late 50s and early 60s, there was a lot of feeling like, you know, the West Coast of the United States was you know, really a booming and happening place, as we feel now, right?
Yeah.
We think we're the center of the world. But, yeah, so I think there's a loyalty and a you know, it was compelling right from the get-go, and it didn't take anyone any time to get to become fans. I mean, there was, you know, as my father always said, you know, the best player of all time came and showed up in San Francisco, and you know, it didn't take a lot to become an instant fan, and then, you know, with the compelling rivalry with the Dodgers. So I think that's correct. I think it was just too hard to break through something that was so great right from the get-go.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm glad you talked it out like that, because I think it's true. And I think that's what passes on from generation to generation. How do you like the matchup today? You know Tim Hudson. You've covered him when he was with the A's. Here's Kershaw on the other side. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's really what baseball is all about. Hudson and Kershaw. How do you like this one today?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge Kershaw fan. I just think both on and off the field, he's just, you know, fantastic. And it's really, you know, Giants fans, I think, would love to hate him. But how do you hate that guy? I mean, he's just he's a great player and he's a really solid person and about as nice as they come. And then Tim Hudson is just, wow. You know, yeah. I've always been a big Tim Hudson fan. He was my favorite A's pitcher. I have a tendency, you know how tall I am, Marty.
Yes.
So I have a tendency to favor the little guys.
Right.
And so when Hudson was with the A's, he was always my favorite pitcher. I was happy to see how well he did in Atlanta and always have loved watching him pitch. And then the way he's been pitching this season, it's just, you know, it's more than I think anyone could have expected because nobody knew what it would be like for him at his age coming off that injury and just making the transition to a different team. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great one and just compelling. You know, I don't know about you, but I find, you know, 2-1 games absolutely more fun to watch than 8-7 games.
Yeah, well, I think fans like runs, but if you want to watch a 2-1 game, you can watch it a couple times a week. But if you saw it every night, it would be a problem. I think baseball has always felt that way. That's why the ball's juiced up and they change the rules so the hitters always have an advantage. But this one today is Sunday baseball for me. This is the one where you went out to the game on Sunday and you watched they would save the greatest pitchers on the staff to throw on Sunday. And that's the way it would work. So I think we have it coming today. Ed Killian with us from the San Francisco Chronicle. So how do you like the ball club? It's a little different. You know, the hitting home runs, of course, the formula of the starting pitching and the bullpen and the defense has been very good. But the home runs are different. And somehow or other, they don't hit for a high average. They don't drive in anybody when runners in scoring position. But somehow they're leading this National League West, and they're hitting home runs. How do you like this ball club?
Yeah, I like them a lot. I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors because if you look at people's averages and you look at, you know, the pitching staff that's had the starting pitching has had some rough outings, and you're not really quite sure. They're kind of getting it done. And, of course, we know that the whole kind of getting it done has served the Giants really well in 2010 and 2012. I mean, those two teams, sometimes you weren't exactly sure how it was happening, but, you know, they were successful. So I like this team. I find them very entertaining and a little puzzling. Like, you know, you look at Pablo's average and you think, really, how can the Giants be winning when he's not producing? I really like what Hector Sanchez has been doing. I think Michael Morris is not only a good addition on the field, he's a super fun addition off the field. And the bullpen, you know, as always, or almost always, has just been lights out. And the defense is so much better than it was last year. The defense has been great. I get a kick out of watching Brandon Crawford. He's such a great player. And even though it's been a couple of years now, I still think he's such a great story. You know, the hometown kid who a lot of people didn't think would really be able to play at this level and produce. And for him to have, you know, be hitting two-run homers every couple of days, that's a fun part of the story, too. So I find them entertaining. You know, we're just about at that quarter pole mark where you really get to be able to see, you know, you kind of get to be able to say, well, this is who this team is now. And I think we're getting a good idea that this team's going to battle. They're going to, you know, find a way. And if you get to the bullpen, except for yesterday, usually you're going to, you know, think good things are going to come out of it. But, again, I'm not exactly sure why it's working so well. Although I will say one thing. With every day, we knew last year that Angel Pagan was a big loss.
Yeah.
But with every day that he's playing, you really that comes home even more. Just what a loss it was. He really makes things happen, and he's on base all the time. And you know, I heard you just talking about D. Gordon, and you know, he doesn't steal bases like that, but he's once he gets on base, it seems like good things happen.
Yeah, especially behind them. It helps Pence as well. Annie, this is Mother's Day, and you've covered ball players, basketball, football players. Mothers have a very special part in players' hearts. Every time you bring up a Mother's Day story or you talk about a mother, do you find that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting dynamic in sports because so many athletes get into sports through their fathers, either following in their father's footsteps or having their fathers coach them. But it creates a kind of different dynamic. And you know, you can tell with a lot of guys when they talk about their dads, there's a tension there. There's a I was never, you know, the relationship is different when it comes to sports with their fathers because it's maybe competitive, it's maybe, you know, pushing. But with the mother, who's often the one who has, you know, driven them to and from practice, who makes sure their uniforms are okay, you know, somehow scrounges up the money to find them that they can be able to play, you know, a travel team or something. If they're a single parent, you know, they make the sacrifice. So, and there's kind of more of an unconditional love usually there with mothers. There's not that kind of competitive relationship. So I think it's a lot of athletes when they make it and they get to that level, they really they overflow with love for their mothers, because I think even though maybe sometimes their fathers was the ones who pushed them into sports, I think they see that their mothers were kind of laid the foundation for their success with just making it be able to happen for them. And I think, you know, we saw just this past week with Kevin Durant with you know, his really touching, moving speech when he won the MVP with his love for his mother. And you know, not as much in baseball, but certainly a lot of sports. There's, you know, a lot of guys who are raised in single-parent homes by their mothers. And you know, the first thing they want to do is go out and get something for mom when they sign that big contract.
Well, it's true. And grandmas, too. You know, yeah. You see that so often in baseball. You see that very often. You know, I think about Brandon Crawford, and he does that commercial for Wells Fargo. And just the way he says, my mom's a teacher. You know, there's a certain love in his voice the way he says it.
Yeah, and of course, sometimes the mother does have, you know, more of a influence in terms of the sport. I mean, Angel Pagan's mother was a great fast-pitch softball player. So was Yoenis Cespedes' mother. So I don't want to discount the fact that sometimes the mothers do play a big role in the actual athletic part. But, yeah, I think there's definitely a special thing. It's always fun. I remember, like, years ago doing a story on Ricky Henderson and his mother. I mean, they're always fun stories to do.
Yeah, I'm glad we recognize it today. Eric Chavez told me his mother was a great fast-pitch softball player. He used to pitch to him in the backyard. He played a lot of baseball, a lot of softball with his mother in the backyard and turned out to be a pretty good third baseman. Hey, thanks for being with us. Enjoy Mother's Day today. And I love your perspective on Giants-Dodgers and, of course, this ball club. And a lot of people say, how are they doing it? Pitching, defense, relief pitching, and hit a couple of home runs and things seem to work out. That's the story of baseball.
Pretty much.
All right.
Have a great day, Marty.
Thank you, Ann. Thanks for being on with us. Okay. That is Ann Killian of the San Francisco Chronicle.